Welcome to the Mizzou Sports Podcast. Daniel Jones here at the end of day three of SEC Media Days. This interview, which is one of a number I'm doing with other SEC beat writers around the league to preview Mizzou's opponents for the 2018 season. This one is with Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader. We talked about the Wildcats. Jen's been covering the Wildcats for quite a while. We talked about the quarterback that Mizzou took the SEC passing touchdowns record from, Andre Woodson, who played at Kentucky in the mid to late 2000s. We compared the Missouri and Kentucky football programs a little bit, saw some similarities between them there, and then we also looked ahead at where Kentucky kind of stands in the SEC East this season. Jen is more optimistic than most about their chances. A lot of people think that they're kind of middle to the bottom of the East, but Jen made the case for them being kind of in the middle of the East along with Florida, Missouri, and Tennessee. So hope you guys enjoy the interview. Keep checking back for more throughout the week. So here on day three, about midway through day three of SEC Media Days in Atlanta, and I'm about to speak with Jen Smith, who writes for the Lexington Herald Leader, covers Kentucky football for the Lexington Herald Leader. We'll be talking about the Wildcats. Jen, thank you for your time. I appreciate getting a chance to talk to you today.
Sure, happy to be here.
So I guess just for you, how long have you covered Kentucky football? How long have you been at the Lexington Herald Leader?
I've been at the Herald Leader about 19 years. I've covered a lot of different stuff. I've been on football for a long time as sort of a secondary beat writer. I took over about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my seventh season at Kentucky.
Yeah. So just a real quick historical note, Drew Locke last year set the record for most touchdown passes in a season. He set that record. He broke the record that was set by a Kentucky player. And it was, can you remind me the name? The Kentucky quarterback that led Kentucky to the win over LSU in that historic season. I think it was 2007, if that rings
any.
Andre Woodson, yeah. What were those years like at Kentucky when they were really fighting for the top of the SEC?
You know, it was an interesting time to be at Kentucky because they were coming off probation. They were having all these issues after how Mummy left. They had a lot of trouble finding a coach at that point. A guy named Rich Brooks, who came from Oregon, was Oregon State, was coming and sort of rebuilt the program from the ground up and was able to make huge strides for a program that historically does not win a lot of SEC games.
Mm-hmm.
And those sorts of things. That was a really fun game. The LSU game was a really fun game to cover, actually. I had to write about the final play of the game, I think, as a sidebar writer at that point. But, it was interesting because Rich sort of built it back up. It took a step backward a little bit with Joker Phillips. And then Coach Stoops, you know, has gotten facilities. They've redone the stadium. They have a $45 million practice facility. They've been in for a couple years. You can sort of see those things building on each other, and recruiting classes are getting better. So right now at Kentucky reminds me a little bit of those times with Andre Woodson and Stevie Johnson and Jacob Tammy and a lot of guys who sort of went on to play on Sundays.
Yeah.
So you were just talking about Mark Stoops, who spoke on day one. He's entering year six now, and it's been kind of a year-by-year process. His first 2 years, I believe they were 2-10, and now they've gotten to a point where they did some historical things last year. Won three SEC East games, which is like the first time ever that's happened for Kentucky. What's the prognosis going forward? Is this like you were just saying, it kind of feels like those years back when Kentucky football was really performing well. Now that you kind of move on from Stephen Johnson, what's the outlook for Kentucky this season?
You know, I think they have almost everyone back on offense that was a playmaker last year, except for Stephen Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, Stephen Johnson was apparently injured. He had a knee injury the entire season that no one knew about, so he wasn't even at 100%.
Mm.
But, they have Benny Snell back. He's leading returning rusher in the SEC. I think that's going to be a huge focus on their game this year. They feel like they have some guys that can sort of back him up and be complimentary backs this year in Saheem King and A.J. Rose. It'll be interesting to see if they can find somebody other than Benny Snell to kind of get those tough yards.
Mm-hmm.
They have two quarterbacks that sort of look to be in the mix. A kid named Gunnar Hoke, who's been in the system for 2 or 3 years, is kind of a redshirt guy. Came on early in the spring, enrolled early in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been around for a while. And then and he's just sort of a pocket passer, really accurate, kind of cerebral kind of quarterback. And then Terry Wilson, who's a junior college transfer, he originally signed with Oregon, redshirted there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
coaches say that they've clocked his running speed faster than some of the wide receivers on the team.
Wow.
He's a speedy, athletic guy, also pretty cerebral, can make the throws. But it was interesting because neither of them really impressed a ton of people in the spring game, and I think that fans are maybe a little bit down on them this year because of that.
You know, mm-hmm.
They have everything back on defense except for two starters. You know, they have almost all of their offensive back. Their entire offensive line is back. You know, all SEC tight end is back. All SEC and Benny Snell. But it's like the quarterback situation just has everybody sort of like, what are they going to do? How's that going to go?
Yeah, I gotcha. Like you said, Benny Snell, he's given Mizzou nightmares. Kentucky's won, I think it's three in a row against Mizzou. Certainly two in a row. I remember 2 years ago, Benny Snell just ran wild on Mizzou.
I think he had like a school record 42 carries in that game. It was pretty nuts.
Right,
He was sharing carries at that point with Boone Williams. So
yes.
It was his freshman year.
So, you know, what does Benny bring to the program just in terms of talent and being a difference maker at running back?
I think that he's going to be more of a vocal leader this year. He's always been he's always been a real vocal kid and sort of confident and sure of himself. I mean, at this event this week, he said he thinks he's the best running back in the SEC, maybe in the country. He's not scared to say these sorts of things. But you sort of see him taking other players under his wing and kind of critiquing them in a vocal way that you don't normally see from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of growing in a leadership role. I think part of that is just because they don't have a quarterback. He feels that obligation on himself now. But I think that this year he could actually break the Kentucky rushing record, the career rushing record at Kentucky after three seasons, which is kind of an amazing feat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he has a lot of goals and a lot of things he's shooting for, but he's trying to kind of bring everybody along with him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So where do you feel like Kentucky stacks up in the East this year? I know that's kind of a loaded question, but you seem to be optimistic about, you know, who they're bringing back, even though the quarterback situation is a little unsettled. Where do you feel like they're at in terms of the SEC East?
I think they're right in the middle. I think that they might be voted, if you look at the record and in the sort of the way that media usually votes them. I see the media putting them at this event, you know, right above Vandy, sort of at the bottom. But, you know, two seasons ago, they finished tied for second in the East. Last season, they finished tied for third in the East. So they've made some strides, even if they don't really, it doesn't always show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, they've won four in a row over South Carolina, a team that's clearly going to be put ahead of them based on the momentum the last couple of years, at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm curious where sort of Tennessee falls into that mix and where Missouri falls into that mix, because they clearly have a great quarterback that people are looking at saying he's going to guide them to great things.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's sort of a Missouri, Kentucky in the middle, you know, maybe ahead of South Carolina, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be an interesting sort of middle of the pack race.
I agree, and I think Florida maybe
is
in that group too. Florida, Missouri, Kentucky, and you know Tennessee's a little bit
South
of a
Carolina.
Wild card, and South Carolina are all. There's not much to parse, and I know last year Missouri obviously lost to South Carolina and lost to Kentucky. I felt like Missouri and South Carolina kind of had similar seasons with the way that things worked out, with the difference being South Carolina beat Missouri and then won their bowl game, and Kentucky beat both those teams. So it is kind of very fluid. It'll be a fun race to watch. Another thing that I feel like Kentucky football maybe has a little bit in common with Missouri, which is in terms of the SEC, there aren't many schools that prioritize basketball over football or have a fan base that thinks that way. And I think at Missouri, sometimes it flutters back and forth, you know, depending on the year and the directions of the program. Sometimes you do have seasons where basketball season kind of overshadows football season a little bit. How have the facility upgrades, the things that have happened at Kentucky under Mark Stoops, changed that dynamic a little bit? I know there's, you know, Kentucky basketball is always going to be king, but how has he kind of changed the perception of the program there?
I think it looks less like a second-class citizen, if that makes any sense. I mean, you look at the stadium, it looks like an SEC stadium. Not sure that you could have said that 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the practice facility, it's probably one of the best in the nation. If you look around, I've been to a couple NFL facilities that it rivals.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they at least showed recruits that they were serious about football in ways that they hadn't before,
mm-hmm.
ways that Rich Brooks wanted to, but they never really elevated past that.
Yeah.
So I think that helps. I do think that there have been some sort of missteps by the staff. There was They've lost 31 in a row to Florida, and they had a very good chance to win it last year. Mm-hmm. Two uncovered wide receivers for touchdowns, a holding call on the go-ahead touchdown in the final seconds. I mean, it was sort of this heartbreaking thing. And I'm not sure the fans have gotten over that yet. I think that they're still waiting for Kentucky to sort of elevate and beat a Florida or beat a Georgia. You know, they're sort of... The streaks against South Carolina and in Missouri are not enough for them. Like, they need it to be more for them to get hopeful about football, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense.
Absolutely. And you brought up that Florida game. I know that was brought up on day one with Coach Stoops and with some of the players. But would it... How much did that game impact Kentucky's season last year? Because when that happened, it was just like, oh, man, I can't believe they lost it in that way, leaving a guy uncovered on the final play of the game.
Actually, the holding calls at the final play.
Oh,
of the
yeah,
game.
Sorry.
But,
sorry.
Yeah, the two uncovered wide receivers was – I think that was especially painful for Stoops because he grew up a secondary coach. Mm. He was a safety at Iowa. That's his bread and butter, and mm-hmm. clearly those were two very bad secondary mistakes that I think he's still kicking himself over, and the fans are still kicking him over. What was the question?
Just about the season, how that kind of set the tone. That was kind of
actually. You know. I mean, it was interesting yesterday or Monday listening to Kentucky's tight end say we were all really down about it, but we realized we had another game 6 days later, mm-hmm. and you know, we didn't focus on it that much during the season, and I don't know that it actually changed the season that much for them. They could have won 8 games, which would have been, you know, very rare in Kentucky football history. So they knew how close they were at sort of knocking on history's door, and then bad things happened, mm-hmm. as they sometimes tend to do in Kentucky football.
Right.
But it was interesting to hear Conrad talking about that game, all of those close games, but specifically that Florida game has been eating at them. And it's come up a ton this offseason in workouts, 6 a.m. workouts, you know, got to beat Florida this year, got to get that back, got to end the streak. I think that it will be interesting to see. That's the second game of the season for Kentucky at Florida,
oh, wow.
a place I don't think that they've won since maybe 86. I can't remember the history now. But it'll be really interesting to see if they're able to sort of use that offseason motivation and walk away from a place that's really hard to play against at with a win. Plus, they have a terrible track record against Dan Mullen. I think they're 9-1, I think, against Mullen. So, or 1-9 against Mullen, yeah.
Gotcha.
So it'll be sort of fascinating to see if that game can turn this season, because I don't know that it did much for last season.
Gotcha. I know Missouri doesn't play in Lexington this year. They got that opportunity last year. But in the future, for Missouri fans that might take a trip to Lexington, what are good things to do there in town, things that you would recommend that people see if they have a weekend in Lexington?
There was a Triple Crown winner this year named Justify, I believe, and then there was a recent one named American Pharaoh. I believe Justify's still sort of racing, but I think he's going to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
And there are horse farms all around the area that house, you know, Triple Crown winners now, so that's sort of cool to do. If you come in October, you can go to Keeneland. Mm-hmm. There's just sort of a lot to do downtown now. It's a much Jefferson Street, a couple of other hip places to go, but... you know, horses are sort of their main bread and butter when they're not thinking about basketball.
We were really lucky last year. I got in Friday morning and or Friday afternoon and Saturday morning before the game. The game was at night. We did go to Keeneland. It was like the opening day for the fall season.
Super fun, right?
Oh, it was amazing. It was a super fun time. First time I'd ever been to the track, so that was great.
Yeah.
But Jen, thank you so much for your time talking Kentucky football. Appreciate getting a chance to talk to you, and best of luck this season.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate the time. Glad we...
Be sure and subscribe to Mizzou Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.